Let us pray.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. I pray this message will touch someone and remind us of the power of your word, that each of us has been called to serve according to each of our giftings, and that as the commandment reads, that we give and love you with all of our heart and all of our soul. Amen. When you drive an hour and a half to come to a service and preach, you have a lot of time in your bubble. And I found this morning that I was so much in my bubble, I didn't realize that we were here. And an hour and a half went by very quickly. Before I move into my message, I really want to leave a very personal thought with this church. You're a church that's on fire. We look around at our churches today all over, and I'm involved in some of the churches in Montreal, and I see the spirit and the fire that's on your hearts. But what is really important is the power of prayer that you use in your church. There is power in prayer. God hears our words, and we need to listen for his answers. So my message to all of you this morning before I get into the real message is, may God continue to bless your serving hearts and understand that he is here each and every step of the way with you. As I prepared for this message, I was doing devotions some time ago. And as pastors, we try and teach each other and teach others that when we read the word of God, we need to hear what we read. And sometimes we do an awful lot of reading, but we don't necessarily hear what we read. And I was in Kathy's favorite verse, Proverbs 3:5, and I'm just going to read it out to you because this stuck with me. There was one word in that message, in that biblical verse, that just, it resonated with me. Here's what we read. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. I don't know about you, but we use the word all the time, don't we? All the time. Can everybody say all?
All.
Oh, come on, a little bit louder. All.
All.
Amen. All right. And we use it in almost all of our vocabulary and all that we do. All the way here this morning, I was in my bubble thinking about how wonderful you have your church is. And then I was thinking about all of the alls that I'm about to use within my message. If you really want to know statistically, in the Bible, the word all shows up 5,261 times. And it shows up in 4,664 verses. Now, I promise you, I'm not about to read 4,664 verses for you. I think we'd go a little past lunch hour. But the important thing here is that we understand that there is power in the word of all. So I always take biblical understanding and I go to the dictionary and I wanted to find some definition of what all is. And Kathy gave me one and it reads the following. Give it your all. Give it your all. That's what all means. Just do the best you can. Give whatever you can. So today I'm going to relate three stories to you. Biblical stories. Two biblical stories. And a real life story. And I'm going to finish with the new story. Because in the Bible, God was, God is, and God will always be the same. When we preach, it was, it is, and it will be. And those that are here this morning that are about to be baptized, and those that are about to witness that baptism next week, it is the will be. That is the future, the beginning for each and every one of you that will be baptized. But more importantly, for those who witness this baptism, because baptism is a public ordinance, you too will share in their testimonies of how the Holy Spirit spoke to them to be baptized. And I'll come back to this a little bit later. The first story, and all three of these stories, by the way, is that, here, I've got to get used to this, changing these slides at the same time. And the Lord, the voice said, Lord, saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. In each one of these stories that I will relate to you this morning, including those that will be baptized, it was the Holy Spirit that spoke to you. And when you listen to that Holy Spirit and God says, it's now time, you responded and committed yourself to that. Well, these stories are all the same. And the story is about listening to what God has to say and responding to it. Sometimes we hear a voice and we say, well, maybe I'll do that a little bit later. We need to understand that when God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, He's asking us to commit ourselves to what God has in mind for each and every one of us. And I must remind you that there's not one person in this congregation that's sitting here with us today than those that are not with us. Each and every one of us has a gifting. You hear me? Each and every one of us has a gifting. And it's God's calling upon each and every one of us to use our gifting or our giftings. Anne has a gifting of music. John has the gifting of prayer. Brian has the gifting of being a pastor, soon to be a reverend. By the way, I probably shouldn't say this, but I will anyways. Keep July the 8th open. Hear that? July the 8th. It's a Saturday. That's the day you get to witness your pastor being ordained as Reverend Brian Schemel. So July the 8th, it's a Saturday. Kathy and I will be here for sure. And I will make one commitment to you, Brian. It's the only time I'll do this. I promise to come without a tie. I walked in this morning. We were here a half an hour early. The first thing I get out of Brian is, what, you wore a tie? I wore a tie. I'm from the old school. You know, I haven't changed. There's certain things that I feel that I need to wear. But I promise you, for your ordination, I will not wear a tie. My first story this morning is about King Josiah, 2 Kings 22, verses 23. Josiah, I want you to imagine this. How many here can remember what it was like being 8 years old? I won't ask you to raise your hands because I'm sure we only get a few. But Josiah, at the age of 8, was appointed king. At the age of 8. And because of his faith and his trust in God, he became a righteous king. He, at the age of 26, started to live the commandments, the covenant in its fullness, removing all the adultery and the graven images and idols that were in the communities. Because he believed in God and he accepted the obedience, the calling was put upon his life. Josiah brought healing through God to the land, a healing of moving away from those other ways, if we can say it. But verse 25 says it all. Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned the Lord as he did with all his heart and with all his mind. Soul, and with all his strength, in accordance with all the laws of Moses. He had a calling, and he accepted it. I'm not getting quite used to the technology here, so I got to just use my finger. So that's the story of Josiah and how he accepted the call. And I don't know how you would imagine this. I'm not so sure how I would have done at 8 years old if I was appointed king. I mean, because when we're 8 years old, we're full of playness and we just want to, you know, just do different things and try out different things, ride bikes and throw balls and footballs and play hockey and whatever else we do. But to be thrown into that responsibility at the age of 8, it's amazing. And his ability to handle that appointment was because he had Jesus, God in his heart and in his soul. It was God that brought him through it, and it is God that gets the glory for it. My next story is about Tabitha. In Greek, the name is Dorcas. And I particularly picked this scripture reading because it relates to very similar to one of you that are going to be baptized. And I'll bring it up a little bit later. But Tabitha had a gifting. And that gifting was sowing. And she sowed for all of the widows and the poor. She devoted her life. She was actually considered in the Bible as a disciple, someone who preached the word of God and lived the word of God. And she passed away. But the widows were there, knew that Peter was nearby. So they went out and got Peter and brought him. And Peter had them all leave the room. And Peter went into the room and prayed with her. And he says, "Get up." And she got up. And when the others were told that she had risen, that she was alive again, they went out and spread the word. You see, this is like being baptized. We give away the old and we're resurrected in the new life. And it's our calling to share that newness all the time, all we can, with all of our friends, all of our family, and all those that we know. And yes, you will be persecuted. But when you walk with God, Romans 8 says it all, with him on my side, who could be against me? So take that and cherish that. So she was just abounded with this desire to serve others and to help. That was the "it was." Now I'm going to bring a more contemporary story, if I can use the 1800s as a little bit contemporary, certainly past the Old Testament and the New Testament. And it's the story of Wilberforce. God placed a vision on Wilbur. He was in the British Parliament. And the vision that God had put on his heart was to eradicate the slavery or the slave trade in Britain at that time. And he accepted that conviction and he stayed with that conviction. Did God answer after 1 year? Did God answer his prayers after 2 years? Did God answer his prayers after 3 years? No. It was only 30 years later that his conviction or acceptance of the eradication of the slave trade in Britain was realized in Parliament. The point of the message here is that God had placed a vision on Wilbur, and he accepted that vision and he lived with it. And he just waited with great patience and obedience for God to fulfill that particular conviction that he had. 30 years later, wow. And all it took, over 30 years for Wilberforce. And he did this against all odds. I mean, he was really persecuted as he went through. He didn't have a lot of people in Parliament that wanted to support this until 30 years later. The importance here is that he did this and he walked with God and he was obedient to the word and he kept his faith. We're going to go through turbulent times, each and every one of us. We heard it in our prayers here today, but we need to hang on to our faith. It is so important to us. And we do that through prayer and trust and obedience. It will be. We have just heard of how an 8-year-old king dedicated his life and commitment to living the covenant with all his heart and with all his soul. Obedience to the call. We heard about the disciple Tabitha, Dorcas, who dedicated her life to sowing for widows and poor with all her heart and with all her legacy. And that lives on today. There are operations, missionaries or missions all over the world. They've adopted this Dorcas missionary attitude to helping poor. So her legacy lives on even today. And God brought her back to life because he was not finished with her. He wanted her to continue on doing what she was doing because it touched other people. And when she was brought back to life, that story went and spread and encouraged others to understand that through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and through God, there is power and there is hope. And Wilbur was given a vision by God for his life. He was obedient. He was steeped in faith and trusted in the Lord. But his strength was his conviction and his trust in God. It will be. We've just heard it was. We just heard a little bit about how it is in contemporary words. But now we come to "It Will Be." And my opening comment is, wow. Wow. To imagine, and I have shared this with some of our other pastors and other churchgoers in our own church and other churches, that Mansonville is about to witness 11 to 12 baptisms. Believe me, God is present. And God is in this church, and he's walking with each and every one of you.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We, as pastors, teach you about baptism through the Word of God. I want you to hear what I have to say, because this is extremely important. So we just teach you what the Bible says about being baptized, what it means to be baptized, and what becomes of each and every one of us after we are baptized. That is written. But what we don't do is we don't say, you must be baptized. It's time for you to be baptized. Hear this and hear this clearly. It's the Holy Spirit within you that decides when you are ready to ask to be baptized. Are you with me on that? It's through the Holy Spirit. And it's a public ordinance. It's something that we need to share with each other, because someone is now going to be, get their old life is going to be washed away, and they're going to be brought up and have the new life, a life with Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, a day when they will continue on to share their testimony of how it was to be baptized, but also to share the good news, the gospel. People say, well, Pastor, I don't know how to share the gospel. It's so easy. Just live like Jesus Christ and let people see who you are, because you will and are different. If we look at the world around us, there's a lot of people that don't go to church. But those that go to church, they feel the fellowship and they feel the love among each and every one of us. As I said, on the way here, both Kathy and I, we just love coming here. It is so friendly. But there's so much power in your prayer and your desire to have God, feel God in your presence here. We have some stories before us, and I don't know how many. Can everybody raise their hands going to be baptized? Can you do all that? All right. Thank you. I don't know everybody's story. And far be it that I would know everybody's story, because you haven't shared your testimony with me. But I do have one that I want to share as well as I can do it, and I hope I do it properly. But we have someone amongst us who went in for surgery. I'm talking about Chuck. And Chuck went in for surgery, and the surgery didn't quite go so well. And Chuck was sent to a hospital for further surgery. And when Chuck got to that hospital for that further surgery, they put him into a COVID environment. Now you imagine, he needs surgery, and seriously needs surgery. So they tested him for COVID. Did he test positive? Nope. He tested negative. And he went out and had his surgery. And Chuck's testimony is that he felt God's presence and God's divine healing upon his life. And just like Tabitha, Chuck, I'm telling you, God wants you here today to continue on sharing your testimony with whoever you can. Because that is the power of prayer. And that is the power of understanding that through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, anything is possible. Nothing is impossible. So please, and if I haven't recanted or said other testimonies for other people that are here, I apologize for that. But this really touched me about how close he came to not being with us here today. But he's here with us today, and so are his sisters, right? Sisters? All right, I got some of that right. So I started off the message earlier this morning about accepting calls. And I said, it was, it is, and it will be. God was, is, and will always be the same for us. So I've taken out this verse of Deuteronomy, which is in the Old Testament, and I will read it to you. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. This is the Old Testament. Hang on to that word, with all thy might. All right? Moving. It's a reminder of God who is and all he has done. It is a reminder to tell God's story well to all people and especially to children. I look at the ages. Well, I'm the oldest here, but we joke about it. And I look at the ages of who's going to be baptized. And in most churches, the number of young adults that are going to be baptized between the ages of 18 and down is enough to start a youth group. You're almost 9, 8. And I just prayed on the way up while I was in my bubble that God will touch the spirit of one of you to maybe want to have a youth group and get together maybe on a Friday or a weekend with a little bit of Bible study and a little bit of singing and a little bit of what young people do. Have some fun. But that's what it's all about. Just sharing the good word. So, then we come to the New Testament. And the New Testament reads, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Mind, not might, mind. Bring Jesus Christ into your heart and let the Holy Spirit live there. And whenever you are confronted with a situation, be whatever it is, if you really want to know how to get back to the Word of God, because that's where all the answers are, just ask yourself, what would Jesus do? Just ask yourself that question. What would Jesus do? Jesus often went off and prayed to his Father. Prayed. Asked for help. Asked for guidance. When it comes time for God to measure us, when that time comes, he's not going to put the tape around your head. He's going to put it around our hearts. Remember that. Love is in the heart. Love with all your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. Just bear in mind that if there's one thing that you cannot destroy and beat or eradicate, it's true love. And it's easy to say, I love you. But it's real when you say, I love you. Just like God loved us by giving us his only begotten Son. That's how much he loved each and every one of us. He loved us that much to give him his only begotten Son. And finally, if I can learn how to... thank you. I wanted to close with two sayings and a biblical verse. And I want you to understand this, as you walk with God, disappointments are inevitable. Discouragement is a choice. We all will face disappointments in life, whatever they are, at home, at here, wherever. But discouragement is a choice. And when we walk with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we keep the faith, we keep the obedience, we value prayer, and discouragement does not become the choice. Second one, for your baptize, for those that will be baptized. Legacy is a story of you that is yet to be written, for which you hold the pen. Remember that. Legacy is a story about you which is to be written. You are the author and hold the pen. So whatever you do, that's how our legacy will be. And finally, I love this verse because it summarizes everything that God can do for us. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I can do all of this. I'm not inhibited about anything. I have the word of God, the strength right there. And I can do it all because he gives me like he gives you strength. Amen? Oh, louder, man. Amen. God is our strength. And Peter replied, and I'll close with this and then a prayer. Repent and be baptized. every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I remember my words when I came up out of the tank, and the pastor asked me, he says, what do you want to say now? And I said to him, Pastor, I was filled with the Holy Spirit before, but if I'm going to be filled with more of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to implode. Baptism will change you, but it's all in your heart. And carry on with it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for all those whose spirit has been touched, that next week that they will be baptized and they will wash away the old and bring forward the new. And I pray, Father, that they too will do this with all of their heart, all of their soul, and all of their mind. But as we close this message, Father, we thank you for allowing me to share the good news that Jesus Christ is alive and he's with us here today, and that this church is a house of prayer. And let us all go in peace, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ will be with us both today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Amen. Amen.